Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we see a great mystery, the mystery of death and resurrection. I suppose I always have to be a little different. I find this to be more powerful than Pascha. To me it is Pascha. Because a man who was 4 days dead, who was already stinking, was raised beyond expectation. Even though Martha expressed her belief that he could raise Lazarus on the last day, it did not occur to her that he could do it now. And yet he did. I told you last night that when you go through Holy Week, you should be trying to see the personality of the God-man Jesus Christ, and his humanity especially. And as you see his humanity, and like I said last night, to see his humanity is also to see his divinity, because he is the same person. Jesus Christ is God and man. You cannot see Jesus Christ without seeing God and man. But to look upon his humanity and the things that he did, and how he reacted to things, how he prayed, how he forgave, his steadfastness, his courage, his obedience, that teaches us about our humanity. You need to know about your humanity. He's the expert in our humanity, not us. And we learn how to be human from him. Now, there are a few things in this gospel that, if I'm careful, I can only underline a few, but if I'm not careful, I almost underline the whole gospel. But here's a few things that I think teach us something about the mystery of death and how human beings understand it and recover from it. This stuff is too big for us. It's too hard to understand. We can only understand a little bit, because much of what is real is hidden from us, because we don't yet have the intelligence to be able to comprehend it. But we can comprehend a little bit, as the apostle says, through the glass darkly, but eventually we will see face to face. So, when Jesus found out that Lazarus was sick, St. John goes out of his way to say that he delayed. It says, he abode 2 days still. Why would this be? Well, you can come up with understandings of reasons, like, for instance, the Jews that came to the sepulcher and saw Lazarus raised believed, so it could have been for them. It really doesn't matter what the reasons were. What this shows me is that God has a time according to how all things should occur and all things should happen. We don't know. We don't understand why things happen or why they do not happen. And we should just have faith. Now, sometimes it's very hard to have faith. Sometimes our faith is very thin. But as long as we always have faith that God is in control of all things, then we will understand when he abides 2 days still, when there is something in our life that we think needs immediate attention. This is a lesson that I am continually learning all my life, especially as a priest, because it's hard sometimes to understand why things happen and why things don't, why prayers to God appear to not have been answered, appear not to have been answered. So the Lord abode 2 days and waited for Lazarus to die, and then he was buried, and then he traveled a certain amount of time, evidently perhaps 1 or 2 days, and Lazarus was already dead and in the grave. Then he, as he's about to travel there, he gives a little teaching to his disciples, and he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awaken him out of sleep. And St. John spends a lot of time on this. It's kind of a parenthetical thing, but he talks about how they thought that he meant he was just taking rest and sleep, but Jesus finally said, no, he's dead. Now to God, all are alive. So when God said, Lazarus sleepeth, he knew the truth. They didn't know the truth. And many times, we don't know the truth. God always knows what is real, what is true. We don't. So when the Lord said, Lazarus sleepeth, he was speaking from his fount of complete knowledge. We never have complete knowledge. We never understand anything. Point to one thing in your life that you completely understand. I don't know anything. Only God understands all things. This is an important point to understand. And to know that even if we see something that appears very difficult, very painful, very evil, God knows the truth of the matter, always. And if we know God, then we know someone who knows the truth, and we have access to that truth in the time that we may understand it. Thomas, when he heard all this, with great zeal, said something extremely foolish, extremely uninformed, extremely untrue. In his zeal, he said, let us also go, that we might die with him. Because they knew it was dangerous. The Jews had only tried to kill him just recently. So they were ready to be martyrs for their God, for the Christ. And we know how that turned out. Everybody ran away. So what Thomas said here was not true. What Thomas said here was foolish. But God honored Thomas's foolish saying, because even though they ran away, God was with them so that they did not run away too far. And even Thomas, who was filled with doubt, was brought to belief on the eighth day after the resurrection. We say a lot of foolish things. I've said a lot of foolish things in my life. Things that have turned out not to be true. Promises that I could not keep. Beliefs that I had that turned out to be wrong. Extreme ideas that now I don't have. But I had them back when. Just like Thomas. Crazy idea, let's go and die with him. You're all about to run away in only a few days. This happens to us. God doesn't care about our imperfections. He cares about our faith and our belief. And throughout all the imperfections, God will bring us through. This brings me great comfort, because especially as a priest, I've made more mistakes than I even know how to count. Some of them quite serious. Some of them have caused difficulties for myself, for my family, for those I was trying to care for. I had misunderstandings, said or did the wrong thing at the wrong time, had the wrong belief concerning a situation. But God knows the truth. And God, if we desire to go and die with him, then we will. Thomas did desire. He just didn't have the strength. God will give us the strength. All we need to do is just keep pushing. Okay, you're still going to say some dumb things. That's just the way life is. Sometimes those dumb things are things you're going to have trouble recovering from. Perhaps Thomas, because he had said this flagrantly wrong thing, had trouble believing in the resurrection. Maybe that's why he had so much trouble and Jesus had to sort of talk with him personally about it. I don't know. But we can recover from any dumb thing if we have faith. Our salvation is not dependent on our competence, on our intelligence, on our ability to say smart things. Thank God for that. There'd be no chance. It's just dependent on us being part of this mystery, wanting to be with the Lord, struggling to be with him, struggling against our sins. That's what it's about. So Jesus comes near the town. He's still outside the town. Martha hears about him. She comes to him and says, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died." She loved her brother very much. She was mourning him. She knew the Lord had healed many, many people. He would have healed her brother. He loved her brother. They were very good friends of Jesus. They knew him well, had had dinner with him very many times. But she didn't expect her brother to be raised right then and there. That was too big a thing for her. Do you have any things in your life that are big? I do. Some big things I believe God will prevail. Other big things, I want to believe it. I believe it only in a sort of a technical way. But it's hard for me to really believe it'll happen. I believe God can do it. But there is something that makes me inside think, well, it wouldn't happen. That's what Martha was doing. And the Lord was standing before her, saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." And she didn't understand. You and I don't understand either. That's why we sin. That's why we have anxiety. That's why we get confused about things. Look at the little child there. She's never confused. If something happens and she gets scared, she runs to her mommy or her daddy. That's how we should be. She has complete faith. But we don't. So we go through these episodes like Martha, where she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's showing faith, but not complete faith. We have to grow to complete faith. And God will bring us there. A famous line of the scriptures, known to be the shortest line of the scriptures, is Jesus wept. But what happened after he wept teaches us something very important. "Then the Jews said, 'Behold how he loved him.'" That's why they thought he was weeping. Do you know why he was weeping? Because death is ugly. It's not the way things are supposed to be. And there were people there who were dead. Even though they breathed, they were dead. And they were going to stay dead. Even after seeing the miracle, some there were going to stay dead. He was weeping about death. Not about the death of Lazarus, but about death in general. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It was not God's plan. He was rectifying the problem. But it was hard and painful. And so he wept. So should we. We should have that same feeling within ourselves as Jesus did when it says he groaned in himself. One more exact translation says he rebuked the deep feelings in himself. Do you have deep feelings in yourself? Does your heart say, "This is not right"? Whether it be about the way you believe or the way you act or your conduct or your life or about your loved ones or about the world and the fact that people kill in the name of God and do unspeakable things and justify it by God's name? Does your heart groan within you? It must. That is how we understand the mystery of death and resurrection. Until you groan within you, you won't understand it. It'll just be something that you understand as a historical event. You have to feel death inside yourself to feel resurrection. Jesus felt death. That's why he wept, and that's why he groaned. And that's what we must learn to do. This is not something that is macabre or sad. It is to see things as they really are and to come to an understanding of the truth. This is the great mystery that we see today. And we must learn to groan within us about death, about all things that are dead. People can be dead before they die. We do things that are death ourselves, and we also do things that are life. Do we groan about the things that we do that are death? We must learn to do that. That's what this story teaches me. This entire story is in a very famous book, Crime and Punishment. The entire chapter is read when Raznikov is sort of almost insane because of his grief, because of his guilt over the two murders he committed. And he has come to where he doesn't believe anymore. And he is speaking with Sophia, who has a horrible life, living in complete penury, a prostitute just to be able to care for her family because her father had died after some drunken binge. She had many reasons not to believe, but she believed with all of her heart that God could bring her through all of her trials, and him too. And so in the context of his melancholy, she reads the entire chapter, and it's quoted verbatim in that book. She understood about death and about life, and it ended up bringing Raznikov finally to life, to be able to deal with his sin and to become alive again. That's what we need to do. We're all little Raznikovs running around with things in our heart that are breaking us, that are death. God wants it all to be gone. He wants it all to be light. He wants it all to be alive. But we don't understand how to do it. We make efforts, but we don't understand the reality of things. We make promises, but they're bad promises because we can't keep them. We want to start something good and it ends after a little while. But God knows all that. And he loves us. And he wants to bring us to life. That's what this resurrection teaches us today. And the reason why for me this is more Pascha for me than Pascha. Because this is the application of Pascha. In Pascha, we have, unfortunately, stupid human tricks that go on. People that show up for the first time that year. And people who are focused on the eating and on all of the frivolity. And all that sort of thing. Or they make it frivolity. All of the celebration that becomes frivolous to them. And it's more about, for them, for a lot of people, it's this event. Pascha. Pascha basket, Pascha lamb, all these sorts of things. But Pascha is about the human heart being transfigured and changed. Pascha is about those things inside you that are too big for you, God taking care of them. That's what Pascha is about. And you see that for Martha and Mary today. It was too big for them. But God took care of it. That's Pascha. Pascha is death becoming resurrection. And we see the best example in all of Scripture of death becoming resurrection here. We could read this story every day for the rest of our lives and not completely understand it. But let's understand a little bit of it. Let's learn to try to learn, struggle to learn, and God will help you to learn, to just groan about the things that are dead in your life and in the life of others, and to believe that God can change anything at any time. And even if you're not capable of believing at that moment that the thing could change, believe that He can do anything at any time. And God will. Expect to be surprised, brothers and sisters. God will surprise us every day. May God help us to live the resurrection. God bless you.